नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we are celebrating the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. On the eighth day of the bright moon of the month of Bhadra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's eternal pleasure potency appears within this world to bestow the highest benediction upon all living beings. The subject matter of Radhastami is of the highest esteem of all spiritual topics. There are two types of pure devotees of the Lord: the Nitya Siddha and the Sadhana Siddha. Nitya Siddha are those divine personalities who are ever perfect in their original spiritual consciousness. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this world, such persons descend from the spiritual world with him. Like the Lord, they are never conditioned by the three modes of material nature. They participate according to the Lord's own sweet will in his transcendental pastimes. The Sadhana Siddhas are those souls who are by constitutional nature eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and prema bhakti is dormant within their heart. But since time immemorial, have forgotten their real purpose. Under the illusory energy, striving by so many means to try to find satisfaction, to avoid suffering. However, this material world is dukkalayam ashashvatam. It is temporary. Everything dies. It is not a happy place. So the spirit soul can find no real satisfaction here. But by the mercy of the Lord, he descends into this world. He speaks transcendental knowledge. performs his beautiful pastimes and empowers his beloved representatives with his mercy. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. After wandering through the universal creation for countless births, when one becomes most fortunate, one meets a pure Vaishnav. By the mercy of the Vaishnav, the seed of bhakti awakens within our heart. The spiritual master teaches us how to water that seed and make it grow and develop into its perfection. Sri Rupa Goswami, he explains the progressive evolution of devotion within the heart of the sadhaka. Adoshata tatha sadhu sangota bhajana. At the beginning, there's a little faith within our heart. That faith may come from agyata sukriti, from some knowing or unknowing devotional service that we may have done in the past. Or it may come from previous acts of sacrifice in the service of Krishna in previous lives. Some little faith is within us. And that faith will attract the attention of the Paramatma who is within our heart. Krishna will reciprocate even with that speck of faith. That is his mercy. Krishna tells in the Gita that he is seated in everyone's heart and he's directing everyone's wanderings. So he directs us into sadhu sangam, the association of devotees. In that association, we understand what is our real purpose. Questions are answered. The most essential questions: who am I? Where am I coming from? Why am I suffering? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? And how to develop that relationship. Then, according to Krishna's wish, we accept a spiritual master. And the spiritual master and his representatives, strictly according to the scriptures as passed down through parampara, instructs us, guides us, and trains us in bhajana kriya, the path of purification. At the time of initiation, when we take our vows of dedication before Guru Parampara, we chant this mantra: Om apavitra pavitro va sarabhavastam gatospita tisma yasmaret pundarikaksham sa bhayabhyantara suchi. One who is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all various circumstances in life, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes purified from within and without. Bhajana Kriya is simply about purifying the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained it so simply. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriye Udohe. that pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. It is our natural inheritance. Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna is the seed-giving father of every living being. And every good father gives his children inheritance. Every good father will share its property and its joy with his children. Will he not? The spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, is the home of our father and mother, Radha and Krishna. Eternal home. And all the pleasures and joys and all the property of that home, our mother and father, Sri Radha Gopinath, they are eager and longing to share with us, to enjoy with us. Isn't that what a good mother and father want for their children? The vast majority of family members understand the quality of the love of their mother and father, and they never leave home. But what is this material world? The material world is for those living entities who have chosen to live separate from their mother and father, who have rejected the home and the property of their mother and father, who have rejected their inheritance, who have rejected the will of their mother and father. And due to false ego, are adamantly insistent on enjoying separately, cutting all ties. Such rebellious mentality plunges us into the oceanic condition of the laws of karma. But Krishna is so kind. We may forget Krishna, but Krishna will never, ever, ever forget us. We are all his children. Therefore, he comes to this world again and again and again and again through various incarnations, through his representatives, just to invite us back home. We are stubborn. We fail to respond to that calling. But love of God is our nature. It is within us. Krishna wants us to experience the highest pleasure of love. All Krishna's beauty, all Krishna's sweetness, all Krishna's wonderful qualities, he wants to enchant our heart with them and give us the highest destination of bliss. Therefore, he has given us this simple process. When we come in contact with the Lord's devotees, we learn the science of remembering him. And because Krishna is all pure, simply by remembering him, we become purified. That is the essential conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. There are over 700 verses in Gita, but they are all meant to bring us to follow one sloka. If we follow this one sloka, we perfect our understanding of Gita. And if we do not, however many times, even if we recite the entire Gita every day for our whole life, if we do not realize this one verse, we've missed the point of everything.
Manmanabhavamadbhakto madhyajim namnamaskuru mam evaishasi shatyam te prati jani priyoshime.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. And what is the best way to remember Krishna? Especially in this age of Kali. Krishna has descended within his name. Krishna is none different than his teachings and his pastimes. In the association of devotees, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, our hearts become purified, chaito-dharapana-marajanam, and this ecstatic love gradually awakens. This is bhajana kriya. We follow regulative principles to not further incriminate ourselves in illusion. We live a moral, ethical, honest, and humble life of servitude and hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And by doing so, gradually, nishtha, we come to the stage of firm faith. Unshakable faith. But that is not enough. We must carry on with our sadhana until that faith develops into ruchi. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Where no longer is Krishna consciousness an austerity, but there is an enthusiasm of our heart that simply wants to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. We have no taste for sinful activities anymore. We have no taste for mundane subject matters. We have experienced something higher, param drisva nivartate. And therefore, to see the deity of the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord, to serve the devotees of the Lord, is our life and soul. From ruchi, we become purified to the higher stage of ashakti. Very deep attachment to Krishna. That attachment where we don't care to live without Krishna. We don't care to live without Krishna consciousness. Nothing else has any real meaning to our lives. We are attached to Krishna. And that attachment further develops into bhava. Bhava is the first rays of the light of love of God within our hearts. No more desires for this material world. In that state of love for Krishna, we must be very careful because we have not yet completed the purification. Bharat Maharaj, he had attained the state of bhava. He left home. He left his kingdom and all the wealth of his kingdom and all the power, prestige. And it describes what was his attachment to these things. He went to the forest and left it all behind, the same way after a person responds to the calls of nature, leaves those droppings behind with utter indifference. And there were ecstatic symptoms of tears as he worshiped the Lord in a solitary place, on the bank of a river, in the forest. However, he became attached to a little baby deer, and that diverted his attention away from his sadhana. And ultimately, all of the credits of his devotional service became hidden. and he had to take his next birth as a deer. So even if we are in that state of bhava, it is necessary that we must remain closely connected to the association of devotees, because the devotees will protect us. The satsang of Vaishnavas insulates us from the effects of Maya. And we must carry on with our proper sadhana. Bharat Maharaj was diverted from his sadhana at the level of bhava and ended up taking a lower birth. So we must carry on with this hearing and chanting in the association of devoting, following moral principles, and really trying to develop our service attitude. And through this process, bhava evolves into the state of prema. Prema is the perfection of life. When we attain prema, our original love of God is awakened. There's no longer any tinges of material ego, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, or illusion. The three modes of material nature may affect our bodies, but the three modes of material nature cannot shake us, cannot divert us from our firm dedication to the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In prema, ecstatic love of the heart is manifested. And then we read that from this state of prema, it becomes deeper and deeper in higher levels, like the condensing of honey. It becomes thicker and sweeter. From prema, there is sneha. Then mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, mahabhava. Rupa Goswami explains the characteristics of each of these stages of bhakti. The various attributes, higher and higher attributes of prema or pure love. Mahabhava is the highest ultimate state of prema. It is only experienced in its fullest manifestation amongst the gopis of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is no standard of devotion to Krishna that is equal to that of the gopis of Vrindavan. There are many forms of persons who have attained the state of prema or love of God. In Shantaras or neutrality, Dasyaras, servitorship, Sakyaras, friendship, Vatsalyaras, as parents. But Mahabhav manifests its fullness in Madhuryaras, or conjugal love of the gopis. Srila Ramananda Rai, in his discussion with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explained the succession, of higher and higher revelations of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. And he explained how with each rasa,
or with each loving relationship with Krishna, all the previous rasas are contained. In Dasya Ras is included Shanta. In Sakya Ras is Shanta and Dasya. In Vatsalya includes all of the others, and in Madhurya Ras, the fulfillment, the realization, the ecstasy of all the previous rasas are there with something more. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is no love that is equal to the gopis of Braj Dham. On the stage of Mahabhav, there are different levels of more condensed ecstatic love. The ultimate is Madanakya Mahabhav, which is the exclusive property of Srimati Radharani. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains she is the supreme lover of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his Hladini Shakti. He describes, what is Hladini Shakti? The essence of the Hladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency of the Lord, is love of God, prema. And the essence of prema is Mahabhava. And the personification of Mahabhava is Srimati Radharani. Radha and Krishna are one. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir hladini shakti asmat ekat manava pibu vibhava deha vidam gathao thao. Swarup Damodar Goswami has explained it like this, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is one, Krishna. Radha and Krishna are one person, but they are eternally taking two forms for the purpose of ecstatic loving relationships. Krishna is Rasik Shekhar. He is the supreme connoisseur of love. And Krishna is Abhigya Swarat. He is all-knowing and fully independent. He does as he likes forever. Krishna has Achintya Shakti, inconceivable transcendental potencies. The only purpose for existence is loving relationships. There's nothing else. There's no other reality. Loving relationship is all there is. That is what the whole spiritual world and all the Vaikuntha planets is about. Simply loving relationships. And we see, even in this world, material existence, where we have forgotten our loving relationships with God, we have forgotten our real loving relationships with the spirit souls or other living beings, still, maitunya agara. The whole material existence is simply being sustained by the desire for loving relationships, but in a misdirected, perverted form. How much people are mad to try to find the pleasures of loving exchange. Sex life is the grossest perversion of pure love, if it is not done according to religious principles. The insects, the birds, the animals, and even in their very low conscious state, even the plants. Why are they producing and reproducing? Why is there so much population? What is sustaining living entities? Is this drive for sex? And where is that drive for sex derived from? That intense need within our heart to find the pleasure of loving relationship. And it manifests in different perversions according to the modes of nature we are influenced by. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sometimes ignorant people, they just want to beat somebody in the head and just do it. But they're looking for loving relationship. They're looking for pleasure in the mode of ignorance. The mode of passion and the mode of goodness, much more refined, much more decent, ethical, moral. But the fact is, maituna agara, the sustaining factor of the whole material existence is the drive for people to try to find loving relationship. But unfortunately, without understanding its source, its origin, therefore Krishna descends to this world to reveal it to us. There are many religions in this world, and they all teach that the essence is to love God. It is in the Old Testament, and it is in the New Testament, that the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. If by following religion you do not develop love of God, then you haven't understood. And Srila Prabhupada explained in that way. He said, we are not a sectarian movement. We are simply concerned with loving God. God has come in many forms and has revealed many names throughout history in many geographical places on this planet. But we will take seriously and give all respect to anyone who has actually developed love of God. And what is love of God? That is also consistent within all the great religious traditions. That love of God means to be intoxicated, to be addicted to the Supreme Lord, to be willing to do anything and sacrifice anything for the will of the Supreme Lord. Tatiksava Karunaka Surada Saravatehanama Jatra Satavan Santa Sadhava Sadhubhushanam. A person who loves God is very tolerant, very merciful and kind to all living beings, very self-controlled, moral, ethical, forgiving, very attached to the Lord, very humble. These are universal principles. And to love God means not to be attached to the things of this world, but to be attached to the world beyond, to be reattached to the world within our hearts, Krishna. That is love of God. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel of all scriptures, because it gives the highest revelation of love of God. It explains everything in such a way that all the other sub-religious principles, all the other scriptures, the Vedas and other throughout the world, are included within the Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam goes beyond. What is the origin of this eternal necessity for every living being to find the pleasure of love?
Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritirtha Dini Shakti Rashmat. The origin is in God Himself. The One Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, is eternally divided into two transcendental forms. It is not that one is superior or one is inferior. It is not that one is coming for them, the other. It is not that Radha is coming from Krishna or Krishna is coming from Radha. They are the One Supreme Absolute Truth who are eternally, simultaneously existing. For what purpose? For the purpose of pure, intimate, ecstatic exchange of love. That's all. God is loving Himself. The love of Radha and Krishna is the absolute truth. It's the all in all. It's the everything. There, nothing else really exists in truth except the love of Radha and Krishna. But the perfection of that love is unlimited variegatedness. Therefore, Krishna expands Himself into unlimited jivatmas. And each one of us is included within that category. Just like the sun manifests unlimited rays, Radha and Krishna manifest unlimited spirit souls, parts and parcels. And each part and parcel is eternally existing to participate in the love affair of Radha and Krishna. We are all expansions. And to the extent we wholeheartedly participate in assisting the love of Radha and Krishna, we experience the most intensified ecstasies of love. And that is why the gopis are on the highest level. There is no one who experiences such happiness, such complete bliss as gopis, because they are most intimately surrendered to personally participating in assisting the love of Radha and Krishna. So Krishna is the source of everything and everyone that exists. And Srimati Radharani, His Ladini Shakti, His pleasure potency, is the source of all love. He is Vishaya Vigraha. He is the personality that is the object of all love. And Srimati Radharani is Ashray Vigraha. That means she is the repository, the reservoir of all love. She is the supreme lover. Just as we are all part and parcel of Krishna, all love of every jivatma is part and parcel of Sri Radharani's love. In this material world, people like to go back to their roots, go back to their natural origin. But this is the true origin of all of us, that we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all meant to participate in Radha's love and service to Krishna. So in this way we can understand the supreme esteemed position of Srimati Radharani. in India today and all over the world, the nature of Kali Yuga actually is to take sacred things cheaply and to give cheap things great value. Krishna says in Gita, what is religion is taken to be irreligion, what irreligion is taken to be religion. So cheap things are considered so valuable. One's prestige, such a cheap, useless thing. Anybody could get it. It comes and it goes like the foaming bubbles on the ocean. Yes? Maintenance of this body is a cheap thing. Why is it cheap? Because you've had millions and millions and millions of body. It's born, it grows, gets old, it dies. It's not a very valuable thing. Money, wealth, property, these are cheap things. They come and they go. You get it, you lose it. You get it, you lose it. You get it, you lose it. Birth after birth after birth. It's nothing so great. Elevation to heavenly planets, that's a cheap thing. How many millions and billions of people live in the heavenly planets? It's not such a great thing. What's really valuable? What's rare? Something that's actually hard to get. Money isn't hard to get. Fame and prestige isn't hard to get. Health isn't hard to get. Comes and it goes. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. Durlabha manava janma satsange. Taraha eva vosundare. What is really precious is the association of devotees. That is rare. That has great value. That is sacred. Because in the association of devotees, we can access our true eternal wealth. Love of God. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more precious. Because in the association of devotees, we could realize the original cause of all causes. We can participate in the Lord's eternal Leela. And what is that Leela? The Leela of Radha and Krishna. And everything else and everyone else in the spiritual world are just expanding either directly or indirectly from Radha and Krishna just to participate and assist that ecstatic love. And in doing so, Krishna and Srimati Radharani reciprocate with our eternally sincere efforts by giving us the same quality pleasure that is in their hearts. Isn't that amazing? The quality of Radharani's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for Radha is shared with each devotee that sincerely serves them with pure heart. So this is the supreme esteemed position of Radha and Krishna. It is not a cheap thing. It's not just a tradition of the religion of India that people hit each other with sticks and pretend to be gopis. Or in the airlines they have paintings of Ras Leela on the walls. And they're serving meat right underneath it. That is not the substance of the revelation of the Ras Leela. Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani are so sacred. There is nothing more sacred. It is supreme. Far even above the head of Prahlad and Hanuman, what to speak of Shiva and Brahma. Even the Pandavas and the Yadus, they have to look up and bow down to the loving relations of Radha and Krishna. And yet foolish people, avajananti mamudha, they dare to compare it to the ordinary relationships between a boy and girl in this world. There's nothing like that. It is the absolute highest realm of ecstasy. The supreme revelation of the absolute truth is the love between Radha and Krishna. Krishna descends into this world once in a day of Brahma in his original transcendental form from Goloka Vrindavan. There are unlimited avatars that appear like waves in the ocean. They are planetary expansions of the expansions of Krishna, manifesting various quantities and aspects of Krishna's supreme opulences. But only once in a day of Brahma does Krishna come in his original transcendental form. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigra Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna descends from Goloka. Our scriptures explain how Krishna in Goloka tells Srimati Radharani that he is going to descend to the earth. But he says, I cannot descend without you. I cannot live without you. And Srimati Radharani says, and I cannot live without you. But at the same time, how will we actually enjoy without the Vrindavan forest, Govardhan Hill, and the river Yamuna? And Krishna tells that the Vrindavan forest, Yamuna, and Govardhan have already descended within this world. Brahma Samhita explains what is the nature of Vrindavan in this world, Bhoma Vrindavan. And the Acharyas elaborate that there is no difference between Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky and the Bhoma Vrindavan in this world. They are replicas. Not only does the Lord descend in his original form, but his abode descends in her original form. And 15 days after Krishna appears, on the 8th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Bhadra, Srimati Radharani appears. And together they reveal to the world the most sublime pastimes to attract our hearts and souls back into their loving service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the mention of Srimati Radharani's name is not directly spoken. The reason for this is Shukadev Goswami. He had but 7 days to speak the entirety of Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Shukadev Goswami had to really be conscientious
to concentrate the essence of all Vedic scriptures into that narration.
It is the Paramhamsa Samhita. Srimad Bhagavatam is especially meant to be relished by the Paramhamsas.
That means the topmost transcendentalists who are reservoirs of divine love. It is the ripened fruit of the tree of all Vedic literatures. It is Amalam Puranam. It is absolutely pure.
Shukadev Goswami,
in the spiritual world of Goloka, is the pet parrot of Srimati Radharani.
Shukadev Goswami, in his form of a parrot in Goloka, is personally witnessing the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the loving rasas between Krishna and all devotees.
Where is it that a parrot cannot go? What is it that a parrot cannot see?
This parrot, Shukadev, is fed by the loving glances of Srimati Radharani. She feeds him her own Mahaprasad with her own hand and puts it into his mouth. He witnesses the ecstasy of Radharani's love. And Srimati Radharani is Kripamoy. She's the supreme embodiment of all compassion and love.
What is the nature of Ladini Shakti? The nature of Ladini Shakti is to give pleasure to Krishna and to nourish all living beings.
Srimati Radharani is the personification of Ladini Shakti.
It is she that nourishes all living beings with her kindness, her compassion, and her love. Krishna is defeated by the love of Sri Radha. He is conquered by the love of Sri Radha.
That is what Vrindavan Leela is about.
Krishna becomes the subordinate to the love of his devotees. Krishna is conquered by Yashoda's love. What is Yashoda's love? It is Radharani's love in its full-fledged manifestation of Vatsalya Ras. That is Yashoda. Krishna is conquered by Sridhama's love. What is Sridhama's love? It's Srimati Radharani's love in its full-fledged form in Sakya Ras, or friendly relationship. But Srimati Radharani is the origin of all love. Sridhama defeats Krishna. Yashoda Mai ties Krishna up and he's helpless. He can't move. He's crying and starving for Yashoda Mai's milk. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. And Sri Radharani is the origin of all love, spiritual love. So what is the power of her affection? She is all merciful. She wants to shower her love and affection upon every living being. Because whoever comes into her circle of loving devotional service to Krishna, whoever becomes the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of her servants, becomes very dear to her. And her affection is the ultimate. That same affection that she conquers Krishna. When Krishna remembers the love of Sri Radharani, his crown with peacock feather falls off of his head and he drops his flute and he doesn't even know it. And what is Radharani's love for Krishna? When she sees the tamal tree, she remembers Krishna's dark form and she embraces that tree, weeping and crying as if she's embracing Krishna. And when the fragrance of Krishna's body comes as a breeze, Srimati Radharani, her heart is just jumping and merging into that breeze. Her life and soul is only for Krishna. That is pure love. And when she directs that love toward you and me, what greater ultimate attainment can there be than that? Feeling the love of Sri Radha upon us. She's all merciful. So what is Shukadev Goswami's position? He's sitting on Srimati Radharani's hand. She's glancing upon him. She's speaking to him. She's feeding him her own Mahaprasad. And she's engaging him in her own loving pastimes in the service of Krishna. So Shukadev is supremely ecstatic personality. He took birth in this world as the son of Vedavyas, especially to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. We know the story. In the womb of his mother, he was Brahman realized. He was by Yogamaya's potency in that condition. But then, upon hearing the glorious pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he was eager to hear more, and he came out. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam under his father. And all the great sages and rishis, including Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, who is his guru and his param guru. What to speak of such senior personalities? Bhardraj Muni, Vashishtra Muni, Vishvamitra Muni, Gautam Rishi. They were all assembled there on the bank of the Ganga. And they all appealed to Shukadev Goswami to speak to Parikshit. To see how non-envious Vaishnavas are. How old was Vashishtha Muni? He was the priest of Ramchandra. Vishvamitra Muni, he was like a guru of Ramchandra. And that was long ago. And they were living way beyond before that. These are very senior people. Very highly realized. Some of them are millions and millions and millions of years old. They're constantly appearing in the Puranas. The record of their austerities, their knowledge, their mystic powers. Incredible, is it not? Gautam Rishi, just by his austerities, the Ganges comes down to the world. These are powerful. And they're all gathered together. Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Godhead. And Narada Muni is born right from the heart of Brahma. He's a historical person. He's the guru of Prahlad. He's the guru of Dhruva. He's the guru of so many great kings. From ages before. And they're all sitting there. And Shukadev Goswami is just a 16-year-old boy. And they tell him to get on the Vyasasan and speak. Hare Krishna. Because they understood his qualification. Yes, he may have been young. He may have been disciple. He may have been the grand disciple. But they understood his relationship with Srimati Radharani and Krishna. They understood the absolute purity of his heart.
So Shukadev Goswami sat on that Vyasasana and he spoke.
Munaya sarupristo ham bhavadbir lokamangalam yatkrita krishna samprasno yenatma supraseedati.
Questions about Krishna are for the ultimate benefit for all humanity.
Parikshit Maharaj asked such questions. He was eager to hear, and Shukadev Goswami was eager to speak.
There's a certain type of parrot that is described in the Bhagavatam. When that parrot bites a fruit, the chemical combination of the beak of the parrot and the fruit makes the fruit sweeter. So this was Shukadev.
When he spoke what he had heard, what has been passed down from the time of Lord Brahma, it became infinitely more sweeter. Because it was mixed. Because he wasn't speaking simply from his lips, he was speaking from his heart. And whatever he was speaking, whatever knowledge he has learned that came down through parampara, was mixed with the ecstasy of the love of his heart. The message was the same. This is the beauty of parampara. With each acharya, his ecstatic love is tasting the sweetness of the eternal unchanged message. And when he speaks it, the sweetness of his love is also mixed within that message, and therefore it becomes even sweeter. When Srila Prabhupada spoke, the ecstasies of the love of all the previous acharyas is in his message.
Hare Krishna.
And when we repeat that message, that is what we are giving to the world. So Shukadev Goswami spoke the 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam and never once mentioned a single name of any of the young gopi girlfriends of Krishna. He mentioned the cowherd boys in Sakyaras. He mentioned Yashoda Mai in Vatsalyaras. But you will not find a reference of a single name to any of the young gopis that Krishna performed his Madhurya Leela with. Why? Because Shukadev Goswami, he had such deep, infinite, ecstatic relationship because they were the associates of his own mistress, Srimati Radharani. If he were to have spoken the name of Sri Radha, such a high, deep subject matter that many of the assembled persons would not have been able to properly appreciate it. So he did not speak. But there's another reason. Because if he would have mentioned the name of Radha directly, he may have fallen unconscious in ecstatic trance. And in the mood of servitude, he was to speak for 7 days and set to Parikshit Maharaj. He didn't have the time to take that risk of falling unconscious in ecstatic love. So therefore he did not mention the name of Sri Radha or any of her associates. However, when he's discussing Krishna's Ras Lila, there's that beautiful story of how Krishna,
He plays his flute and calls gopis. And how the gopis, they sacrificed everything to be with Krishna. We were explaining this principle yesterday. It is so deep. It's not that they were just playing a game, going out at night, and then they'd come back home the next morning. It wasn't like that. They left right in the presence of their parents, of their husbands, of their children, of the society around. And in those days, a lady never does like that. They're rejected. When they left that house, that means they're burning all bridges behind. They'll never be welcome back. They're young girls. They have no professional careers. Where are they going to make a livelihood? Their children, to never see their children again? For a mother? Very difficult. Their parents, when they left, it was understood, it's gone. They're leaving behind the security of a home, the love of parents, children, husbands. Very difficult to live in the forest. How are they going to survive? How many of us are willing to do that? They left without a second thought because Krishna called them. They didn't have a tinge of concern for their own purpose. They were leaving everything sacred behind as far as domestic life, security, stability. And for a chaste woman in those days to be called unchaste, there's no blasphemy that could be more painful. But the Brahmins, the sages, all their relatives and friends would blaspheme them. They were losing their reputation. They were losing everything. Everything in life that people live for, they walked out on it forever. It's unbelievable. Nobody could do that. And they weren't going to get anything in return. They did not want anything in return. They were only going to give satisfaction to Krishna. Krishna played his flute. The sound of his flute entered into their ears and then went into their hearts and stole their hearts with love for him. With the spontaneous, intense fire to satisfy Krishna. That is love. If we have any concern with getting anything in return, it is not pure love. That is why the gopis' love is the ultimate purest, because they wanted nothing for themselves. They were leaving everything behind, perhaps forever. What is their prospect of the future from a material point of view, living in jungles, young girls, blasphemed and rejected by society? They didn't care. Their only concern was, Krishna wants us to serve him. The gopis' renunciation is supreme. And when the gopis arrived, Krishna complimented them and told them to go home. By Krishna's yogamaya potency, he opened the hearts of all the relatives to accept them back. But when they left, they were not expecting that. But Krishna said, they will accept you back. Definitely. Go home. He tested them. All they could do was cry. Why? We've come to offer our lives, our souls, our everything for your pleasure, and now you are rejecting us? Krishna told them, he said, your love for me is so great that with all of my opulences, all of my wealth, with all of my powers, I have no ability to repay you, even in a lifetime of Lord Brahma. That is the gratitude of Krishna for his devotee. We understand that only a grateful heart can cultivate bhakti. Krishna is the original source of all gratitude. His gratitude to his devotees is supreme and complete. Whatever little humility or gratitude we may have is only infinitesimally part and parcel of Krishna's humility and gratitude. Srimati Radharani's humility and gratitude. So yes, Krishna expressed that. And he danced with gopis. And then he left. He left to be with one particular gopi. The crest jewel, the supreme of all divine lovers. And that was Srimati Radharani. At that point, when Shukadeva Goswami, more than in any other scripture ever spoken in the Vedas, is explaining the supreme highest position of Radharani's love, that Krishna left all of the most ecstatic, pure-hearted lovers for one. Shukadeva Goswami could not contain himself. And he spoke Radharani's name in a covered form. Aradhito. Aradhana. Which means, she who loves and worships Krishna better than anyone else. In this special covered way, Shukadeva Goswami revealed his supreme love for his ultimate object of love, Srimati Radharani, to the world. Radhastami is the day that we worship Srimati Radharani, praying to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of her servants. Is the Abhishekam ready? It is ready now. Yes? Srila Prabhupada explains how Srimati Radhika, who was a supreme embodiment of compassion and kindness, humility and gratitude, who was the feminine aspect of the absolute truth, like the Supreme Mother, she lovingly nourishes all of her devotees with her kindness for all of eternity. When she sees a devotee sincerely serving those who are her servants, she becomes so grateful to that person that she approaches Krishna and speaks. She says, my dear Shamsundar, this devotee, he is better than me. His service is better than mine. Please accept him. Krishna must accept the wish of Sri Radharani. That is our hope. It is our only hope. If we can simply be sincere in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, when we satisfy Guru and Vaishnavas, then she will make that request, and then only will we be accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we do not want to enjoy Krishna directly. We don't want to enjoy anything. We want to be enjoyed. And what is the ultimate enjoyment? Simply to assist the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Sri Radha in her supreme love for Krishna. And when we do that, then the love of Sri Radha's heart she shares with us. The experience of her relationship with Krishna she shares with us. This is the dignity and esteem of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who is descended with the spirit of the love of Sri Radha to teach us the process. The beginning of the process is to associate with the devotees of the Lord and make that love of God our highest ideal, our ultimate prospect in life. And to live for that. And we achieve that by purifying our heart through the process of always remembering Krishna with that loving, favorable service attitude. And Lord Chaitanya taught in the age of Kali, it's easy. Just chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now we will have Abhishekam for Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Balava, and then we will have the Arti. Srimati Radharani appeared in this world at noon, so we will be celebrating the glorious arti of her appearance. And then, if that kirtan ever ends, we will continue the Harikatha on the subject of Sri Radhastami. Thank you very much.